Last week, I don't know if you were here, we had the choir last week, and I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. 2 weeks ago, Pat Finelli preached. I was able to listen to that message. Thank you, Pat. I don't know if he's here. He's usually here third service. But what a great message. I appreciated him filling the pulpit on that Sunday. Last Sunday, of course, we had the Gypsy Choir here. Were you here for that? That was awesome. They've been singing all week long. Tonight's their last concert that they're giving. And I'd encourage you to go do it. Go see it if you haven't yet, or maybe if you want to even see it again. They're at Grace Bible tonight. And go over there and enjoy that. That'll be a good time. Hey, I want to start today because the choir last week and then my little bit of interaction with them since then has taught me a real lesson about this hope for troubled times. If you were here last week, you heard their story. You know, of how 15 years ago they were in a terrible situation, and then they found the Lord. They didn't tell you was that the pastor that was here, he was one of the three fathers that was abusive, and he found the Lord and started that church. But in the midst of everything that they've done, they sang here, they sang at several other churches. Last Sunday night they were over at the Alliance Church. I went over there and enjoyed that. They went to Health South and sang over at Health South. I understand they were like interacting with the patients before they sang or after they sang, and it was really impressive the way they did that. They sang at a nursing home for just a handful of people. They sang at outdoor festivals at Bedford and different places. Last Tuesday night, they went to New York City and sang at the Brooklyn Tabernacle for over 3,000 people. So think about that. They sang for tens and for thousands. But if you had any interaction with them, it was amazing because it didn't matter how many people they were singing to. They were just so overjoyed to be here and to share the message of Christ with others. And they came over. Did you know that that was the very first plane trip that any of them had had? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your first plane trip ever? Being when you get on a plane and you come to America, and they're excited to go back and to share their experiences with their people back home. But here's the thing, folks. They seem to really understand hope during troubled times. And if you think about where they came from, where they're going back to, you think about singing to tens and singing to thousands, they still wonderfully welcomed the opportunity to share God's love and grace and mercy with others. And they encouraged me, and I hope and pray that they encouraged you as well. You know, let's jump in here and talk about this passage again from 1 Peter. We've been using 1 Peter 1:1 as a springboard where he says to God's elect, God's chosen people, who were exiles, scattered throughout the whole land. Peter had a word for them, and the word was, I want you to experience grace and peace in abundance, even though you're in a troubled time. Listen, folks, God wants to help us through our times of trouble. You know, thinking about the Gypsy Choir and what they went through to come here, and it made me think about a time when I was in Africa. And I was down in Zimbabwe, and we were going to go on an airplane, a ride out to this other village. And we took one of the local people from the church with us. Not only had he never ridden on an airplane, okay, when we got to the airport, there was a time where we had to go up an escalator, and he had never seen an escalator. And literally with such doubt in his eyes, he asked, where are all those stairs going? And I remember the moment I was trying to coax this friend and worker in the kingdom onto this escalator. And I would get on and I'd say, come on, just step on. And then I'd have to jump back off because he wouldn't get on. He just couldn't do it. And we stood there for several minutes trying to get this guy on this escalator. And finally, another fellow from the back just kind of pushed him on. And as he got on beside me, he didn't want to hold the rails because they were moving. So he held on to me, okay? I'll never forget that experience of trying to help him onto an escalator. You know, sometimes in life, folks, we are faced with such daunting circumstances. And listen, we need to know that God's message is I'm going to be with you, that you can have hope in troubled times. Even if you're facing something that you've never faced before, even if you're facing an obstacle that seems insurmountable, even if you've been beaten down by hurts and the agonies that can come upon us in this world, we can still have grace and peace and abundance from God. You know, when I think about the Apostle Peter, who wrote this letter, I think about what all the other biblical records say about him. There's a lot in the Bible, there's a lot in the Gospels, there's a lot in the book of Acts about the Apostle Peter. And I think his experiences that we see recorded in other places give us some insight as to why he says the things that he says here in his epistle so much later in his life. One such instance comes from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 is an interesting time for Peter. If you know the story, it tells about Peter and John. And how at a particular time of the day, I think it even says like 3 p.m., they were going up to the temple to pray. Peter and John. And as they were going to the temple to pray, they encountered a beggar. They encountered a person that had been from birth unable to walk. And they carried this man there every day, and they put him by the gate that was called Beautiful, and he would beg from that spot for money from people that were entering the temple. You know, godly people are some of the most generous people on the planet. So this had probably served him well over the years. And as Peter and John passed by, you can read it there, it says that this man asked Peter and John for some money. Verse 4 says that Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." Peter said, "Look at us." So he got the man's attention. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you." You know, the most amazing thing about this passage of Scripture to me is that Peter did not give the man what he asked for or what he wanted. He gave him something else. And what he gave him was something that really was of no value, but of all value. Because what he wanted was money. And isn't that the way it is? Don't we think? We think that way, that money would solve everything, that regardless of our situation in life, regardless of our problems, regardless of what people had done to us, regardless of where we were or what we were going through, that if we had enough money, that it would be we could be able to eliminate all of our problems. But Peter gave him not of what he had, but he gave him wholeness and wellness. You know the story. Peter said, "I don't have silver and gold, but what I have I will give to you. In the name of Jesus," he said, "walk." Peter then took him by the right hand. He helped him up. Instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, the Bible says. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. And then everybody around him started noticing what was going on. And then because of their wonder and amazement, in verse 11, it says that Peter stopped and he shared the gospel message with all of those people as well. You see, I think this encounter that Peter has here with this beggar, with this lame beggar, kind of builds a background for what he says later in 1 Peter about hope. I mean, folks, if we don't have hope, you know, really, what do we have? I mean, we're just simply going along the currents of life, waiting for life to just just take us over or roll over us or sweep us out to sea. You know, I had a great experience the other day, and I don't recommend this. But I was driving down the road, and I couldn't help but notice that that a spider had built a web between my side view mirror and my door. And as I was flying down the highway, I looked over and here was this spider, and he must have done a really good job doing the web because he was in the middle of the web, and the spider was just going, whoa, and I could hear him. He was going, whoa. I took out my phone and I took the opportunity to video that, okay, while I was driving, I'm sorry. And then I had every intention of sending it to my kids. And then I thought, you know what? I chastise them for that all the time. Don't do that. So I didn't do it. But this little spider just had to wonder. And when I stopped, he crawled up inside my mirror, never to be seen again. You ever feel like that spider? You ever feel like you're just hanging on for dear life and that the things of this world, the things that's going on in your life, the problems that you have, you know, the whatever is going on in your life, that it's just overtaking you that much? Well, that's what Peter speaks to here. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Look at this verse today. I love this. He says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray." You know, when I think about this passage, I wonder about when he says that the end is near. What's he talking about there? Well, I did some research on that, and you know, there's a few things that maybe Peter had in mind, and probably he had to some extent all of them in mind. The first one is that when you talk about the end of all things is near, maybe he's talking about the problems and the difficulties of individuals. Maybe he's talking about, you know, to the elect that's scattered throughout all the world and the persecution that is on the individuals because of their faith. Maybe he's saying, listen, God has heard your prayers and the end of all that is near. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Or maybe he's referring to the people of God as a whole, to God's family, to the church, if you will. And maybe Peter has in mind what God has done in the past, in the Old Testament, when he heard their prayer, when they were in slavery in Egypt, and they poured their heart out to God, and God sent Moses to lead them out of the land of slavery into the land that flows with milk and honey. Maybe he's saying that, you know, as a whole, God's people are about to be delivered, that the end of that persecution is coming, and there's better days ahead. Or maybe he's really referring to what we, most of us, think he's talking about, and that is that the end of everything is at hand. But see, regardless of how you apply that verse to your life, what he's saying is that you need the hope, that you need God's hope in the midst of your storm, in the midst of what you're going through. Now, I think in this passage, he gives us some insights to help us achieve just that thing. And here's the way I want to look at it today. I want to talk to you about before and after, and then something that's above all, that's overarching in this particular text this morning. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, there's some interesting things there before. Before he says, "The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and sober mind so that you may pray." Before he says that, he gives us a few things that I think can really make a difference. Like, for example, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he says, "Arm yourselves also with the same attitude." Now, if you read just before that, what he's referring to is that we need to have the same attitude about suffering as Jesus did. Isn't that amazing? Think about when Jesus suffered. What did he do? He prayed for those that persecuted him. His love was able to shine through regardless of how people were treating him. And here we're encouraged to have that same attitude in our lives as we undergo and as we are in the middle of the things that we deal with. Okay, here, I'll say, you know, do you have the same attitude as Christ as when it comes to suffering? You know, I'll raise my hand and say, no. I wish I did. I want to. You know, I'm working on it. But that's hard. But he says here that if you want to have hope in the midst of the struggles of life, you have to have a different attitude than most people have. He also says here that if you want to have this kind of attitude in the midst of the storm, in verse number 3, he talks about not looking in the past, not living in the past, not dwelling on the past. He said you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They're surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Isn't it interesting here that he's talking about that you don't dwell on your past? Here's the thing, folks. When he describes the past here, it's some of the most egregious, some of the most terrible sins that we could ever describe. Did you hear the list? He talks about how living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. And he's saying that you don't have to dwell on that. You don't have to live in the past. You're not bound by that. Those kinds of things are not going to condemn you anymore because of the blood of Jesus. So I think the encouragement to us is that we don't have to be bound by those things from our past. Now, after verse 7, he also says a couple of things. Number one, he says, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. You know what, folks? When we're talking about having hope in the midst of troubled times, the thing that we need the most is love. Do you know, I've actually sat with couples that have experienced the most difficult issues that a marriage can face. And they've recovered and been strong. You know why? Because they truly loved each other. He says it this way here. He says, and you look at it, he says, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, isn't it amazing how we can fail someone that we care so much about, and then we pour our heart out and we ask for forgiveness and we ask for help and we ask them to continue to walk this life with us, and they choose to do so because of love. Listen, there is nothing that love can't overcome. If Jesus can hang on a cross and love those that are crucifying him, then love can accomplish anything. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us that if we don't have love, we don't have anything. We're nothing more than a cymbal that's clanging together and making noise. But if we want to live an alert and sober life so that we are able to pray, what we need is to be able to love each other deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins. And then he says this, the second thing that he says here, and I'll put it this way, he says nice matters. He says it this way, he actually says offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I actually go to a barber here in town, and they have that sign up on the wall. Maybe you go there too, over on Broad Avenue, and they have a sign on the wall that says nice matters. And the lady, the nice young lady that cuts my hair, I asked her one day about that sign. And she told me the story of how that sign got put up there. And how in their office, that they're in their barber shop, that they really try to live that way. They really try to do that. That nice matters. You know what? And I think here the Apostle Peter is telling us that love and hospitality can get us further along than almost anything else in life. You know, I was saying to somebody this morning, and it was kind of funny, and I won't use the name now, but last week Arlene and I went out to breakfast out at Cracker Barrel, and We were sitting there eating, and I saw this older gentleman that I knew from town. He doesn't go to church here, but I knew him. And he was sitting alone. And I knew that his wife had died a couple of years ago. He was almost finished, and we were just starting. It was the other way around. We were almost finished, and he was just starting. And I asked the waitress, I said, could you bring his check over to me? I'd like to pay his check. And I did that, and we left and just paid it. And then I saw him yesterday. So he comes up to me and he said, well, that was really nice that you bought my meal. And I said, oh, you're welcome. We just wanted to bless you. And he said, that was the seventh time that week that somebody had bought my meal. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I wish I hadn't bought your meal if you got that many for free. I was thinking, poor guy, he's by himself and he's paying for his meal. And so it just struck me kind of funny. But isn't it amazing what can cause us not to be hospitable? That's my point. It's so easy to just walk by and not pay attention and not think about these kinds of things. And listen, Peter is saying that this small thing like hospitality can make a huge difference in your troubled times. And to help you to experience hope during your troubled times. Now, one other thing, and that's above all. Because he says here, at the end of this passage, after all these things, he just simply says, may God be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You see, folks, our desire must be that God will be glorified in our struggles. That God will be honored in how we respond in our struggles. And that he will help us to have the attitude of Christ in our struggles. Not simply dwelling on the past, whether good or bad, but living in the present and being faithful to him. Loving each other deeply and understanding that love can cover a multitude of sin, any sin, and even the simplest and kindest moments of hospitality can make your life brighter, regardless of what you were going through. Last week, when the Gypsy Choir was here with us, there were 24 of them up here on stage, and I don't know if you noticed, but one young man standing in the back. He was standing about right there. His name was Ramos. Did you talk to Ramos? Ramos, he was the only one in the choir that was married. His wife was up here with him. They left a preteen son back in Romania. After one of our services, he came and he asked me, he said, Pastor John, can I get on your Wi-Fi? He had seen that we had Wi-Fi. I said, sure. He said, I want to talk to my son. I said, absolutely. You go right ahead. Anyway, anything you need to do. And he did. And I talked to him several times, and he never told me the most obvious thing about his life. He was the one that was, his face was drooped. And he had an arm that didn't work. And other people told me the story of how he was a factory worker in Romania, and the factory work, the conditions in that factory were so severe that he had an aneurysm and he had a stroke, and it was simply caused by the conditions in this factory, and he's had a tremendous road trying to recover, and people told me the story. But I realized later on in the week when I saw him a couple of other times that he never mentioned any of that. He always talked about the goodness of God and the tremendous blessing of coming over here. His visa was only approved one day before they came. He almost didn't come. But he always talked about the goodness of God and the joy of being here and looking forward to going back and sharing their experiences with others. And I watched him as he just networked with anybody that was around and anybody that was available. And it really struck me that the obvious bad things that was going on in his life and what he'd gone through, he never talked about. Other people did. Isn't that amazing? Do you find it hard or easy to tell about your struggles and your problems? He found it easy to talk about the goodness of God, even though life has been hard. You see, that's what Peter says that we should have. I think it's what Paul talked about in the book of 1 Thessalonians when he says that we don't grieve like the rest of the world that has no hope because we're different. Peter here describes that difference. I hope he's describing us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we want hope in troubled times. We want to experience joy through pain. And Father, I pray that right now as we sing this wonderful song together about being poor and powerless and being lost and lonely, that God will understand that all of those things can be remedied in you. And that, Lord, when we come to know you, that it does not eliminate our problems, but God, it gives us such a different perspective. That, Lord, we can change our attitude. And that sometimes, Lord, we can even welcome our difficulties because you've done your best work in history when things were tough for your people. So, God, I pray that our best things lie ahead as well because of our faith in you. And, Lord, as we sing this beautiful, beautiful worship song together, I pray that all over this room, that God, people will surrender to you, will depend on you, will reach out to you. And God, they'll feel your spirit reaching out to them. And that, Lord, you will help them. That you will give them hope in their troubled times. And that you will give them joy through their pain. Love in spite of hate. And goodness, Lord, even where evil is present. May we have all of that and more because we have you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.